Welcome to the Whole Food Vegan Podcast.
Exciting vegan food, no crap, no agenda.
Helping you enjoy a wonderfully varied, tasty, easy to prepare and nutritious whole food plant-based diet.
Simple tip, easy recipes and helpful hints on how to get more enticing vegan meals into your diet. Usually recorded after a bottle of Merlot on a Friday night.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Whole Food Vegan Podcast. My name is Mark.
Hello, I'm Sue.
And this is an edition where we're going to talk about going on a cruise. So we've just come back from our first cruise together to Norway.
Yeah, and there's been a bit of a delay in the latest podcast. Apologies for that, but we've been having such a good time. We just didn't get around to it. Sorry about that. But we are going to focus this one on cruising as a vegan. And obviously, bearing in mind, we've only got one experience of this as vegans. So this is our kind of, well, this is what happened to us and this is how we got on. It might be different on different ships with different lines, but we'll tell you what happened.
So we went on Iona, which is one of P&O's newest ships, if not their newest ship. So I think there were 5,500 passengers on board, something like 2,200 crew. It's big.
Yeah, and I've never wanted to do a cruise. It wasn't something on my bucket list. But we wanted to go to Norway, you particularly, and we were looking at the options of travelling and accommodation and eating and not really knowing in Norway how they did vegan food, if at all.
Well, I researched actually going to Norway with a vegan travel group, and they recommended not.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And it's difficult to do. So the advantage of going with a cruise is that you kind of take your catering department with you, which was why we decided to cruise.
And it was basically very simple. You pay a price, it's all in, and jobs are good. All you have to do is buy alcohol, which, you know us, we had to buy a few drinks.
So what we've done is we're going to break this podcast down into a few different sections. We're going to look at some things that you can do in advance of going on your cruise.
Yep, we're going to talk a little bit about restaurants specifically. There was about 33 restaurants on board.
Then we're going to look at some general observations we noted about living on a cruise as a vegan.
And we're going to talk about off the ship as well.
And finally, we talk about some other considerations of sort of generally vegan life, which extends beyond food and eating.
There is more to life than just
there
eating.
There is.
So one of the things that we recommend very strongly is, you know, give them lots of notice that you're vegan and you've got a special dietary need. It is catered for and there is provision, but you do have to remind them quite a lot. And definitely I contacted them about three times. I think every time we had contact with them, we would just say, can you make sure on our file it says we're vegan, both of us. So that's one of the things we did before we went. We also wanted to check that the bedding was vegan, as in not feather, which it was. That was no problem at all. And the other advanced thing we would do, again, with retrospect, is we would probably take some form of protein on board with us because that was really quite lacking in a lot of the meals. They had it on board, but it wasn't ever in any of the vegan meals. And for me, a big one, take a jar of Marmite because it didn't have any. Disaster.
I think we didn't take any protein with us. And we just found the meals on board were very, very tasty, very vegan friendly, but very light on protein.
There was a few occasions where there was, you know, things like tofu in other meals that were vegetarian. Unfortunately, we couldn't eat it because it was a vegetarian meal and not a vegan one.
They get mayonnaise, I think, with that tofu.
Yeah, it's a shame because there was a lot of times when there was a really tasty looking vegetarian option, like a lentil spaghetti bolognese, but we couldn't eat that because it had dairy in it for some reason.
Yeah. So when we go again, because I'm sure we will, one of the things we'll be taking with us is some protein, probably in the form of something yogurts or some protein bars, something like that. And then when we go off ship, we would more than likely go to a little supermarket, which we did once when we were out, just to get some hummus. Just so that you can have it with crackers or have it with lunch, just something with a bit of protein in it.
Yeah. So if you're vegan and you're going on a cruise, you're definitely not going to starve. But for us, because we like whole foods and we like a lot of pulses and tofu and protein sources, we felt that it was a bit lacking. That was the only criticism, really.
So the boat that we went on, as I say, was Iona. I have been on one of other P&O's other boats as well. And they've got, typically you've got three different types of restaurant. You've got the sort of the fine dining where you pay extra, where we didn't go in.
No, we didn't go to any of those because there were so many other restaurants we could go in.
Then you've got the restaurant or restaurants, which is for the general dining, which are sit down. And then finally, you've got the buffet style restaurant.
Yeah, that was a bit of a cross between a school canteen and McDonald's, really. It was a bit chaotic. And again, the food was amazing, absolutely fantastic food. But sometimes it would be a bit sporadic as to what vegan options were available. But it's very handy when you want a little midnight feast or you want stuff in between lunch and dinner eating, which of course you do.
So in that, as we're talking about that sort of fast food type self-service restaurant, a couple of things that we noticed, and I don't think there's anything you can necessarily do about this, but if you tell the crew, the more people that say these kind of things, they'll get to understand. So two things specifically. One of them were tongs. So they would put, for example, some vegan fries or some hash browns that we asked, and they were vegan. They'd put them next to sausages and bacon. And then people would mix all the tongs up. So you don't actually know that what you were dishing your food up with was tongs that hadn't been sloshed around in meat. Mm. So I think just mentioning that to the crew, the more people that do it, the more people will, the more times that they'll take notice. Another thing that they did was they did a great big tray of fries, which looked amazing. And then in the fries, they put in a load of toasted cheese sandwiches, which again, it was like, oh, hang on a minute, these fries are vegan, but now you've contaminated it all by putting cheese sandwiches in it. So there's nothing actually specifically that you can do because it's done. But I do think being vocal when you're on board and mentioning things like this to the crew and saying, did you know you've just contaminated all of that. We now can't eat it. We would have loved to have done. And they're actually quite responsive. They listened, didn't they?
Yeah,
to a lot of
the
stuff we said.
And what we found is if you go back to the same restaurant regularly, they can pre-order stuff for you if you ask them. So if you look at the menu, you can ask to look at tomorrow's menu. You can then say, I want this, but can you make it vegan? And if it's something that they're making fresh, they very often will. Or we a couple of times went to the supper help yourself buffet type thing in the evening.
By supper, you mean 11 p.m.
Yeah, midnight 1 o'clock. And again, there wasn't many vegan options there. But if you pre-order it and say, can you keep some back for us? They will do. And they're very keen to help you. And, you know, they say all the right things and basically... Mm. It's just a bit chaotic. So it's absolutely fine to pre-order and you can pre-order in all of the restaurants the same food. So what we noticed is the three main sit-down restaurants that were included all had the same food. They were just serving it in different restaurants with slightly different ambience. So if you know something's on the menu and you want to eat it in another restaurant, you just go and book it with that restaurant the day before.
Yeah. So what we did was we realized quite quickly that you can customize menus. So what we did was after breakfast, we would go to the sort of front of house in the restaurant and ask to have a look at the evening meal menu. We would have a look through it to see what vegan options were there. If there was something there that we thought could be vegan, so a good example was one day they had a lentil spaghetti bolognese and garlic bread that was labeled as being vegetarian, but not vegan. So we said to them, well, hang on a minute. If it's a sort of a lentil spaghetti bolognese, what about that is not vegan? They said, oh, well, it's just the garlic bread. And just knowing that, we could then order the vegetarian option and just say, please don't put any cheese on it. Please don't provide it with the garlic bread. And because they're such big restaurants, they do find it difficult at the time to cater. But if you tell them in advance, they put meals aside. And it worked really well.
Mm. And I think if you're trying to avoid a certain group of foods because you've got an allergy, that might be a bit more complex again. So if that's your situation, then obviously, you know, you're going to have to be a bit more careful. But as long as you're prepared to wait a little bit longer sometimes, you generally do get a good meal at the end of it. It's mm-hmm. just a bit low in protein.
And be vocal. Be really vocal and talk to them and say, well, can you make this meal with X, Y, and Z instead of what you've put in it. Mm. And as long as you're doing it in advance, what they can't cope with is when they've got 5,500 people to feed and they're all trying to do it on the fly in the moment. But give them an advance notice in the morning, tell them what you want at night. They're more than happy to do it.
The other thing which I found frustrating, which is the case in every other restaurant I've been in where they've got vegan options, is they actually label them as vegan option on the menu. So on the P&O menu, they had a V for vegetarian, and they had, I think, V in a different color. It was just, it wasn't that clear as a vegan. But there were things like what we talked about where they could have very easily given it as a vegan option just by making a few modifications, but they didn't indicate that on the menu. So that was a bit frustrating, because there were times when we could have had an alternative if we'd just known that it was possible to make it vegan. So now we were, by the end of the cruise, we're basically asking about every meal.
Yeah.
Probably a bit annoying.
Well, but I think that's right. They were very customer focused. They were really good at listening. Mm-hmm. What we also found is if you go a cruise and you've got, say, three different restaurants, we found that if we pick one restaurant, tell the restaurant manager that we are vegan, they recognize you when you turn up. Mm. And we then found we actually got a better service, because they were then not bringing us butter with a roll at the beginning of the meal. They go, oh yeah, you're the vegan ones, aren't you? We'll bring you some vegan spread.
Yeah.
And they were, so sticking with the same restaurant, I think, can also be a really useful tip.
I think it's also, they saw me and they thought, oh God,
they saw you and it's like, oh no, we better get this right, because this is going, yeah.
Another thing also, that some of the little sort of sideline food establishments, so you've got all the different sort of restaurants, but then you've also got places that are like cafes and
And street food. So Iona's got sort of an alleyway of street food.
Yeah. So, for example, there was nothing vegan on any of the menus for these little side street ones. And we went to the pizza restaurant and actually asked them and said, if we were going to pay for a pizza, would you be able to make it vegan? Because we knew there was vegan options on board. And they said, yeah, you just need to book it the day before, which is, you know, that's okay. We don't mind that. That's okay.
Yeah, I think that is advanced planning, isn't it? If you'd expect just to turn up and have pizza, you'll struggle.
Yeah.
If you expect to turn up every single night and have a massive selection of meals, you'll struggle. But just with a little bit of planning, might have pizza tomorrow, we're going to let the pizza restaurant know. Let's have a look at the menu and we can customize the menu. It's fine. It was really good.
Yeah. And I just think they could make a few slight changes that would have made it better for us and better for them. And that would perhaps include some of the staff being a bit better educated about the difference between vegetarian and vegan. But they were generally, you know, I can't really fault it.
Were good.
And considering the food was all inclusive, we definitely ate lots of it. That's for sure. Didn't we?
We ate the value of the cruise.
Yes. Another thing which they were really good at, they had masses of options for milk. So if you want an alternative milk, whether that's, you know, low lactose, cashew, nut milk, rice milk, soy milk, they had all that. So you could have it in your coffee and your tea. There weren't any sort of cereal options. The porridge wasn't vegan.
No.
It's frustrating, but yeah, if you want milk in your coffee, that's not an issue. So yeah, and also if you like salad and you like fresh fruit salad, you'll be sick of it by the time you leave, because I can guarantee at least twice a day we have salad. And at least twice a day, we had the option of fruit salad as pudding.
We did. But I think anyone that's vegan is quite familiar with the fact that when it comes to dessert, you get served fruit salad.
Which is frustrating. I mean,
that didn't happen, you know, I would say, because we were full board. So we were eating lunch and an evening meal. It would only happen at one of the meals. And they would quite often have a really nice carrot cake or chocolate desserts. They did for vegan as well. Yeah. But you're right. There was a lot of fruits.
Yeah, there was. There was. And eating off of the ship is something we didn't really do, to be honest, mainly because we'd stuffed ourselves on the ship and it was all inclusive and we're all for a bargain. So when we went off the ship into different ports in Norway, we didn't actually eat out. We did have a cup of coffee and that was about it. And we did go to the supermarket and buy some, as we said, some protein bars and things. But there were definitely vegan options around, and most of the people in the ports rely on tourism and a lot of them spoke English. So I wouldn't have a massive concern about
it. I think Google is your friend in this instance.
Or Happy Cow.
Happy Cow with the international search on it, and search locally to see what options are around the ship.
And it's no different to anywhere else. You know, if you go in and ask to speak to the person who's making it and just say what you can't eat, they will say, oh, I could do this or this. And generally, you know, they'll be very helpful. That's my experience. A few other things to consider. So I had a manicure when I was on board, and to be honest, it wasn't that good, and I probably wouldn't have another one. But part of the manicure routine was to have a milk treatment, which I obviously didn't want. So I did say, is there an alternative? And they just left that bit out. And instead of having milk in there, sort of soak for my hands, I just had warm water, which is fine. You know, I don't mind that. We're going to say about sharing tables as well. We did that a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. So usually at the sit-down restaurants, you can either sit on your own or you can share a table. And just generally cruising, I love sharing tables because you get to meet people, you have some amazing conversations. But as a vegan, just be aware that sometimes you get food envy from the non-vegans because we get special treatment and special service and sometimes different meals. Mm. But also the downside is sometimes the vegan food did come out at a different time, particularly if we'd pre-ordered, then the restaurant would be sort of bringing out our pre-ordered food before some of the other people's food. Mm. Sometimes it was after. Mm. So I would recommend sharing tables, but just be aware if you pre-ordered your vegan food, it might come out at a different time to everyone else's.
Yeah, and you will have to ask for butter that's not, you know, got butter in it and things like that. But yeah, I mean, generally, it's quite entertaining because people are either curious and they want to know more. It's a really good opportunity to talk to people about, you know, dispelling some of the myths that people have about a vegan diet. But also it might be people who kind of, you know, raise their eyebrows at you and think, but you're not choosing who you sit with. So again, another thing I would suggest might be a good idea is, you know, for perhaps at least one meal of the cruise, they could just make all of the food, you know, with a vegan option. And just, you know, people don't have that kind of issue of looking at you a bit weird or having food envy. And it means, you know, it just makes it more accessible. It's better for the environment, blah, 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 blah. We all know why being vegan makes sense to a lot of us. It's just a really good opportunity to educate people about how nice the food can be presented. And it was really tasty and it was very, you know, very healthy, most of it.
Sure.
Or they could just have a vegan table that you could share. If you were vegan, you could just sit on a vegan sharing table.
Yeah.
Because they had, you know, every other group going. They had like gay, lesbian, LBQ plus, blah, blah, blah. So things like that, you know, you could have had that option to then talk to other people about how they're finding you or recommendations of places they've been to.
Good suggestion to P&O.
Yeah.
And what about wine?
Oh, well, now you've got me on my favourite subject. So wine, as you know, we do like a glass or two of wine. And it was really fascinating. They had a very comprehensive wine list and it was really well labelled as to whether the wine was vegan or not, which is kind of better than the food, actually. They actually were much better at labelling wine.
Because usually wine is the difficult thing because there's no standard for a wine producer to say that it's vegan.
Mm.
But so usually wine is very difficult and it's not labelled. Whereas this, as you say, was all labelled. It was great.
And they had some really, really good wines that you'd recognise from the UK. And they also had some really nice beer. And you know what? The best thing of all was it was cheaper than the UK. I mean, this is amazing. I was in my element.
Bearing in mind that we live down in West Dorset in a tourist area. So our beer and wine is expensive because of the tourism. But it was cheaper on board than we pay in a local
car. And I don't know if that's because it's duty free or how it works. But, you know, even buying a bottle of wine, you could buy it a lot cheaper than you know, you would buy it over here. And they also had some very specialist wine, wine bars, I suppose they'd be called. There was honestly so many places to eat and drink on board. I think how many drinking establishments were there? I mean, there was everything from your Wetherspoons type pub to a cocktail bar and
jazz bars.
Oh, loads of stuff. But the wine was amazing. And obviously that's quite important to us. So, of course, if you're not driving anywhere, you can have as much wine as you like.
Definitely.
And I think actually, to be honest, apart from having a treatment, that was our main expense, was just buying alcohol. So again, if you're a big drinker and you like your alcohol, we're not big drinkers, we just have, you know, quality over quantity, but you can buy a drinks package. And I think if you were someone who was going to drink a lot more than us, which isn't a massive amount, you'd probably get more value for doing a drinks package, because I think it was something like £30 a day you were
out. Yeah, £35 a day.
I couldn't drink that in a week, but you know, some people it was no problem. So if you were going to drink and you wanted to have a drink every day, all day, you certainly could. There are people drinking cocktails at 10 in the morning. So yeah, it's an option. It's something to bear in mind. But yeah, in summary, I think I'd definitely go again and I would be a bit more proactive about talking to people in the restaurants.
Yeah.
And probably take some protein and some Marmite with us.
Yeah. Mm. Excellent.
So what are we going to talk about next time? Do we know? Is it going to be a surprise?
Yeah, it's going to be a surprise to everybody.
Including us. Yes, well, we're off to VegFest in November, aren't we?
So yeah, perhaps we could do an episode from VegFest. That could be really good.
But I think we might try and do one before that.
Yeah.
So it was good to talk to you again, and sorry for the delay in between, but as you can tell, it's been busy, and we will look forward to speaking to you again next time. Take care.
Bye. Thank you for listening, and if you have enjoyed this podcast, please remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. If you'd like to be featured on the show or to send us any comments, please email behealthy@govegan.online. See you soon.